Yeah. I mean, you got this way of wrapping me around. You got this way of wrapping me around. Round your finger, yeah. Around your fingertips. And I just linger, yeah. Trying to get a grip. You're flowing in my veins. You live inside my brain. Rent free, tempt me, but no longer will I play your games. I wanna let it flow. I wanna let you go. It's never easy with you, always so difficult. When I think about it, oh, I'll admit, I don't know when I should quit. Cause I can't make you commit. I'm just trying to make it fit into something it clearly ain't. Had a picture I tried to paint. Didn't wanna feel this constraint. Things we do for love in vain. Yo, it's insane. You got this way of wrapping me around. You got this way of wrapping me around. Round your finger, yeah. Around your fingertips. And I just linger, yeah. Trying to get a grip. I don't love the way that you love. I don't love the way that you love, cause your love is a drug to me. Your love codependency, get me high, then you say goodbye. Well, your love don't comfort me. Got my anxiety to the nth degree. We ain't meant to be. It's all well, but I can't take a nail. So I'll stay put under your spell. My pride and ego won't let me smell the agony of defeat. Can't let my heart skip a beat, so I rinse, repeat. You keep me tethered, dangling by a thread. I'm in the deep waters and I'm too tired to tread. Yeah, I should be leaving, but I stay wrapped around your finger instead. Misled. You got this way of wrapping me around. It's like you got this way of wrapping me around. Round your finger, yeah. Around your fingertips. And I just linger, yeah. Trying to get a
You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. Good afternoon and welcome to UTalk. I'm your host, Ryan Funk. That was Around Your Finger, a new single by Vivek Memmi. We'll talk with Vivek later in the program. Before we jump into that, let's meet three young women who are making a difference in their community as Community Youth Innovators, an initiative through Volunteer Manitoba. Let's get into it.
Normally, Gloria would be here because she's the program coordinator, but she's actually back home visiting family. So she's got a little bit of a vacation right now. But I'm here to fill in the steps as I've been through this whole process overseeing this program.
I'm Vicky. I'm a compliance analyst with the CRA, and I'm working with my group of friends on a project this summer, personal finance for Black youths.
My name is Fungling. I guess I am one of five project's co-founder people. I guess I work for the government of Manitoba as a policy analyst, and I'm involved with community work on a volunteer basis.
You can say with confidence that you're a part of this group.
Exactly. You're
a founding member of this group. That's amazing.
Yeah, you're making a difference in the community. That's something that's really impressive.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi, Ryan. Hey, everyone else. Nice to meet you. And thank you for the opportunity to do this interview. My name is Bumi Afolabi, and you can see there's a similar name. We're sisters, and we live in the same house. I'm currently a graduate student at the University of Winnipeg in a Masters of Development program. And I'm also like working with NEEDS, which is Newcomer Employment Education Development Services. And also a member of this group who was doing a community project on financial literacy this summer.
So how about we go back to a representative from Volunteer Manitoba to describe a little bit about what exactly this initiative is, as well as all the finalists who were selected for this amazing project.
Volunteer Manitoba is always looking for different projects that we can help kickstart. And so when RBC Future Launch approached us to put together a project, we thought, what better way to get youth involved than to give a little bit of Kickstarter money to be able to get projects off the ground? And that's how we got the idea of the Community Youth Innovators Program. We had well over 20 applications or more, so it was really hard to just choose six. Our finalists range from like the ladies that are here today, providing financial literacy to Black youth in our province. We've got groups of youth that are doing programming for newcomers in Brandon. We have another group that's doing mental health resources for people in the north of Manitoba, specifically at Apaskowaik Cree Nation. We have a group of youth that is doing work in Winnipeg's inner city, providing water stations during the hot months in the summer. I think I'm missing two more examples. Yes, I am. We have another group of youth that are doing soccer programming specifically for newcomer youth as well. And then our last group is doing accessibility programming for Manitobans across, for teachers across Manitoba, to how to make their gym classes more accessible. So we have a variety of different projects that got accepted. But we only had to choose six, and it was quite hard.
Whenever it comes to community involvement or community initiatives, it's so hard to choose when it's just such a limited amount, because all of them are beneficial for our communities. I know recently, though, I guess not recently anymore, but about, I think it was May 6th and 7th, so that first weekend in May, there was a training session. I guess let's just kind of go around and just tell me, how did that go, and was it what you expected?
The training session was really helpful. We had sessions that really just helped us plan. We had started planning a little bit of our project since the spring, but then having that training session helped us know exactly what to focus on. We had a session on engaging volunteers, because we are having facilitators who are professionals in their field, you know, come in, and we hadn't really thought to treat them as volunteers, you know. So having that session really helped us see that, okay, you know, these facilitators that we're having coming in are indeed volunteers, and, you know, we should be showing them appreciation in different ways, and we should be ensuring that we're using all the skills that they bring to the table in a way that is beneficial for them, you know, as well. And I think one of our favorite sessions was with Allison, where we went through marketing strategies. And I feel like everyone at our table, our mind were just blown. We were so just engaged with all the information that she had to provide, all the expertise, you know, that she had. I think she had over like 20 years, you know, in the marketing space. And that was just really beneficial for us. And we were even able to connect with her after the event. You know, we also had, I think, a session on like planning our critical path. And it really helped us like break down everything in our project into like bite-sized chunks, because, you know, it's like, okay, fine, we're going to have like workshops, and we just had like this big idea that we wanted to do. And that session really helped us to, okay, step one, you know, this, we have to do this. If we don't do this, the project is going to fail. If we don't do this one, you know, we're still going to be okay, you know. So it helped us really see what was important, what was critical, and what were the things that were just like nice to have. Am I missing any other sessions? I know those those three major sessions really helped us to better focus our planning, and it helped us to appreciate more the volunteers that we would have involved in the project. So I think, you know, those 2 days for us was really engaging in terms of learning, and also for networking. We got to meet other youths across Manitoba, people who we wouldn't meet in our everyday lives. And that was really amazing for us, you know, to get to meet new people.
Either of you two like to add anything else about maybe, was it what you expected going in? Maybe something that you've learned, or maybe something that you're like, huh, this is something maybe we should tackle on now as we're heading into creating some of these community initiatives.
Yeah, sure. I can speak to that a little bit. But just before that, I also want to say it was kind of nice to have a mini staycation in your city. And shout out to Volunteer Manitoba for like hosting us at the Hyatt House. It's not publicity, but it was a really nice space and just like good to get away. But yeah, I think what it was like what we expected. We know that we were going to get more information and training on how to run a successful project for the summer. And I think one unexpected thing that came out of it, which Fiki touched on a bit, was that we found out that kind of some of our work was a bit interconnected. So for example, the group from Brandon that's doing a newcomer program, we're also in their schedule. They had like a day for like doing recreation, and they connected with the group who was running the soccer program, like, oh, you know, you guys could come to Brandon and like actually run, you know, maybe like just a game for the time that we're doing our program. And also, so the soccer guys program as well, like, oh, some of our youth would also be interested in learning financial literacy and knowing how to handle their finances. So just like having that connection, and also, you know, knowing the importance of collaborating with other people. We're not in competition. Collaboration is always good, because at the end of the day, the goal is to serve the community, you know, and make that change. So
isn't that just the most interesting thing? Like, even if your community's apart, an idea can still have some sort of interconnection to it.
That was the piece that I was going to add, is that networking and connection, doesn't matter where or how your projects are different, there's still ways that you can connect with people.
The very important thing about this conversation is the projects that you're going to be creating over the summer through the help of friends, family, community members. So let's just quickly go around the circle to describe exactly what you're doing, and maybe go a little bit into detail about why exactly you chose that sort of initiative or project.
Who wants to go first?
For me, do you want to? For me, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. I can start. So our project this summer is a personal financial literacy project for newcomer Black youth to Manitoba. So that's looking at immigrants, refugees, and international students. We are focusing on the ages 18 to 30, and we're hoping to bring in, as Fiki had said, professionals in the field of finance to deliver workshops that would be interactive, and people or participants can gain knowledge that they can then apply into their own lives. So it's about 6 weeks long, and it would be like on the weekends. And yeah, a bit about why we decided to do this project. When we originally had seen the call for proposals, we had a few different options on our plates. We had also considered like a career mentorship type of program, as well as the finance one. And I guess why we decided to go with the finance was because we realized that while there were quite a bit or a few career oriented type training or mentorship that were out there, there weren't really much of financial training that was targeted at youth in particular. There's a bunch that look at families and adults, but not necessarily at youth. So that's why we decided to go with this project. But also in addition, it was like a personal decision for most of us. Our group, we have first-generation immigrants and international students in our group, and this was a skill or, a skill, I would say, that we found was lacking when we were starting out into adulthood, and like we didn't really have access to resources. We didn't really have anyone that was like, okay, this is what a credit card is. This is what you do with a credit card. It's not free money. You actually have to pay it back every month or you get charged. So things like that. And we thought, you know, we've been presented this opportunity and we would like to give back to the community in this way. Yeah, and I think that's the basics of it. I'll let others speak to it as well.
The program is geared towards Black youth, and we are hoping that they can gain basic knowledge of financial literacy. We, like a lot of studies have shown, just throughout Canada, that newcomer and particularly Black or Indigenous youth fare poorly in terms of financial literacy and just financial management in general. So this is a way to bridge that gap a little bit and provide Black newcomer youth with the skills to make smart financial decisions and also like close some of that economic gap, financial literacy gap. And I think also another thing that was important for us in creating this project is to have representation of, you know, Black people, people of color in for our facilitators and also for the coordinators, because having someone that looks like you goes a long way in building that confidence in knowing that, okay, this person is speaking to me. There's some cultural context in that as well, in creating like, you know, materials for the workshop that you may not necessarily get from going to a bank, which is a huge institution, and being able to like talk to, you know, people that you meet there. So having that representation is also a key part for us. And we're also having our mentors. We're working closely with Congress of Black Women Manitoba, which will provide mentorship for us throughout this project. And they already do a lot of community work, particularly with the youth population as well. So having that organization and having the mentorship from the leaders in that group is also a good way to help us build our leadership skills as well, and to ensure that we are able to achieve our goal for this project.
When you're going in, whether you're talking to a financial advisor to get a loan or creating your own or your first bank account, or if you're moving to a new financial institution, it is so scary. So yeah, having representation, having that background knowledge, that literacy can go such a long way. So it's really cool that you are creating this project to help in that sector. In terms of community involvement, why was this important to you to get involved with Volunteer Manitoba? What is it about community engagement, creating community initiatives, that's important to all of you?
I am an avid volunteer since I kind of moved here and like discovered, you know, that you can actually put your time into helping to support community and supporting programs. So that has always been a part of who I am. And funny enough, I actually, because we've been in a pandemic, so, you know, physical volunteering hasn't been possible for many organizations. And going into this year, I actually had on my vision board, Volunteer Manitoba, that I wanted to do more volunteering this year. Yeah, like my sister knows because she was there when I was making my vision board. So when I came about the opportunity from, it was shared within my school network, I was like, oh my God, this is so perfect. We totally should look into applying for this. And this is something that amongst ourselves, we've always talked about doing community work, like we do in our own little pockets where we are. So it's like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity. And I think it would go a really long way to help us kickstart some of the initiatives that we want to implement. So yeah, it's just like really important to me to be able to use my skills to help, you know, help provide that support, help provide that knowledge. Particularly, I also want to provide that visibility, especially in the Black community, that, you know, you can see people who look like you who are doing this work, if that's something that you aspire to do. And also if, you know, you need someone again to like talk to that you feel will understand what you're going through. So that's why this project is really important for me and like really close to my heart.
Personally, for me, I have benefited from other community projects, especially in high school. Having after school clubs was a place that I felt like I could belong with. I could be with kids my age doing little projects that, you know, we enjoyed doing and giving back to the community. And now I know in university, I didn't have like a lot of time to volunteer. It wasn't something that was on my radar as much. And now that I'm working full time, it's like I have all this time and all this, you know, experience and all this skill that I really want to put to good use to create a difference, to give back to my community, because I have benefited, you know, from these types of programs before.
To add to that, I've actually in the past found a volunteer opportunity through Volunteer Manitoba. Last year, before I went back to school, there was a posting for like the Manitoba Leagues of Persons with Disability, and I was able to volunteer with that board. So I knew that Volunteer Manitoba, like, they were doing good work in like putting out volunteer opportunities and like being involved in the community. Like once the opportunity came up, I was like, okay, this is a organization that I have been able to be impacted by or be positively impacted by. I'm forgetting the word I'm trying to remember. I felt comfortable being a part of that organization or working with them to be able to provide this kind of resource into a community where we had identified a gap. And then just like my personal history with volunteering, I guess, I'm my sister, an avid volunteer. I've been volunteering since high school. I just find it more meaningful. Like, you know, I work and I feel like at work, there's a limit to like how much I feel like I'm contributing. But when it's small community type volunteering, I feel like I can see better the impact of what I'm doing. So for me, that's just how volunteering is different, and it's very meaningful to me. It's something I care deeply about, and we are hoping that even past the summer, we will still be able to keep on with this program and even add different or new programs to it as we go on.
I guess the question there would be, you three are getting involved in your communities, making a difference. As we're seeing in the world today, it's a struggle out there for some, and you know, there's a lot we can do. How do we inspire others to get involved in their communities as well? Whether that be me or someone else on the street that are seeing some gaps within the systems.
It doesn't have to be a big thing. You know, you don't have to do a big thing. You don't have to start a big company. You don't have to donate $1,000. You don't have to serve food to 100 people. You can just do something small. I think our workshops, we're aiming to reach 25 youths. We're not aiming to, you know, educate the entire population of Black youths in Manitoba. You know, I think it's difficult to start something if you think, oh, you have to do something big. So just starting small. So just encouraging people to, you know, if it's just a little thing you can do in your community, you see someone that needs a hand, you know, if it's just that little difference you can make in one person's life, it's definitely worth it. It's not everyone that can reach 1,000 people. You know, sometimes it's just that one person next to you that you can help. Sometimes it's just the 25 people who are going to sign up for our webinars, you know, that we can, you know, help this summer. So yes, just starting small.
Yeah, and I think like just adding to that, I think it's important to identify like your area of interest. Like it's difficult to give time and give yourself to something that you're not particularly interested in or don't particularly care deeply about. But if you identify like a specific, doesn't matter if it's, I don't know, just cleaning up your community or like picking garbage from the street, like just one place, one thing that you care about, and just figuring out, okay, I really care about this. I really care about seeing where I live look nice and clean, and figuring out how best to go about doing that. And I think that's a good start, because it can, yes, it can be very overwhelming if you want to do like really, really big volunteering work, but just starting from very, very small detail and then working your way up would be my advice.
Another part of that is you inspire other people by doing. So if people, you know, see you doing community work, see you being engaged in the community, you can also inspire them to want to do as well. So just like, you know, show the work that you're doing, talk to people about it. Volunteer Manitoba has like a great website. They have an Instagram page. You can share like, oh, this Saturday I'm going to be doing this and so. And I think people who see that will be inspired by the work that you're doing. And if you can also like explain the impacts that it's having, not just for the community, but also for yourself, and you know how that helps to make things better. I think people always want to at least like do something good. So that's one way in which you can inspire people to.
It's very similar to making self-improvements as well. Whenever you're talking about like New Year's resolution, the reason they fail is because a lot of people go way too big, way too fast. It's all about small habits. Like if you normally leave your clothes on the floor, you know, you just pick them up, put them in the bin, and eventually that becomes a habit and you can build from there. It's very similar to community engagement and community projects. You start small, and from there, you build a coalition of talented and engaged individuals like yourselves to make a difference, and it can slowly grow and grow and grow from there. Question for you, Camila. When we're looking at these three young women getting involved in their community, I guess just what is your thoughts seeing them take on a project like this and wanting to be involved?
We love it. That's what we're here. And they all spoke so gracefully about, like, I wish I took those clip-its and we can put them in our presentations at Volunteer Manitoba, because, you know, for the past 40 years as a volunteer center, we do presentations and we do outreach across the province to get people involved in volunteerism. And hearing what these women have said about how to get involved in your community, the importance of getting involved in your community, and how it does make a difference. It just goes to show that our province, we're the second highest rate of volunteerism in Canada, and this is just proof to that. We care about our communities, and young people, especially in Manitoba, do want to get involved and are here to get involved.
It's exciting to see the younger generations being incredibly engaged, incredibly passionate about all sorts of issues, regardless whether it's like financial sectors, civil rights, human rights. Like, it is just incredible. And a big shout out to the three of you for wanting to get involved in your communities. I guess just what are your hopes to come from this this initiative? For those who would like to participate, where can they go to find out more?
I should briefly mention that there is five of us in this group. Two of them were not able to join the interview today, so it's just more than the three of us. So shout out to you, Barbara and Victoria.
Of course.
But to answer your question, what we're hoping to get out of this project is to, most importantly, just increase just a little bit of that financial literacy. Like, even if it's just the basic of knowing what's the difference between a debit and a credit card, and you're able to use that information to make smart financial decisions, that's a win in our book. Like Vicky said, we're not trying to turn anybody into millionaires at the end of the summer. We just want to lay those building blocks of financial literacy. And with regards to how you can find out more about the project, we're going to be starting our marketing soon. We don't have it out yet, and it'll have all the information regarding like registration and what types of workshops that we're running. So once that's out, we can share them with you. If you'd like to help us with build promotion, that would be great. but that's my answer.
I'm sure if you look on the Congress of Black Women, we will be sharing our posters on there. So keep an eye out. Congress of Black Women, they have an Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm sure they have a Facebook. And I'm sure Camila and the group, Lantia Manjoba, will be open to helping us share some of our posters as well. So you can hop up there as well. I think for me, it's just, I think financial literacy is just part of overall well-being. And as we all know, the past couple of years has been difficult for a lot of people. And I think just being able to have that confidence in your ability to make good financial decisions. And if it's just like a couple of people who are able to, at the end of the workshop, feel more confident that they have taken knowledge away from that workshop, I think, again, that would be a win for me.
And also, in the future, we are hoping to continue having workshops like this, you know, maybe even a career mentorship form of thing. So having a win as well would be, you know, people after this series of workshops being interested in, you know, seeing more from us.
I'm really excited to see how this initiative all goes.
And I didn't want to cut anyone off, but yes, you can follow Volunteer Manitoba on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We will be posting updates from the group. Each one of the groups will have a specific page on our website, and it will be posted on our social media for you to follow. So you'll get a little snippet about all the groups.
Be a struggle when one has a long-term illness. It eats away not only your physical self, but your mental health. An independent artist is taking the pain of illness and emotional loss and turning it into music. Here's Vivek telling us about his journey and his new release, Around Your Finger.
Hello, I am Vivek Memmi. I am a music artist out of Mississauga, Ontario. I've been working on music for almost, I want to say, like all my life, you know, as a kid, but over the last 3 years, I really got really serious about it, quit my corporate job, my sales job, and moved out of the city of Toronto back to Mississauga because I was, you know, dealing with a really, really intense health challenge. I woke up one day and just felt really, really lethargic, started developing this crazy skin rash. And prior to that, I was misdiagnosed with a serious liver disease, but they did further testing and it turned out I didn't have that disease. And so I went back to living my life, but then fast forward a couple, like 3-4 years later, and my world collapsed. And I like to think of it as a blessing in disguise, because sometimes when these things happen at first, obviously it's extremely uncomfortable, but it really gave me a chance to reconnect with myself. During that process, I saw almost 20 plus doctors and couldn't really figure it out. And it really just took, you know, reconnecting to myself, finding some really amazing practitioners that helped me do that and really helped me build awareness in myself. And that's how my music really started to develop, was when I started to get, sick. I started to use it as an outlet, as like therapy, and as a way of really channeling the frustrations. And you can hear about that a lot in my work. And so everything I do is kind of fueled by that journey. So that's just a little bit about me. I'm sure you'll have some questions or something, but that's a nice little intro.
Well, it's great to know that you found an outlet in a music. When we've seen through this entire pandemic of people dealing with depression, anxiety, fear, not just for physical health, but financial stability, having some sort of outlet can go a long way. But in terms of music, it wasn't just this. You kind of had a long relationship with music, fascination with hip-hop culture, and musical influences from your brother with various different hip-hop and rap R&B artists. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that relationship with music?
When I was a young boy, like I used to, and I think that's like the foundation for like just my creativity and everything that I really love about the hip-hop culture is just like the expressive, starting as a kid, I was really into breakdancing culture, right? So it was like, you got these elaborate costumes and expressive, like, ways of dealing with oppression and like, political issues and socioeconomic issues. And so I just was really fascinated by like, you know, like the clothing and just how people were moving. It was just, it blew my mind at a really young age. So I fell in love with this movie called Electric Boogaloo. Not sure if you're familiar, but there's two breakdancers, Turbo and Ozone. They're quite, and rest in peace to Ozone. But they were quite beloved by the hip hop culture. People used to like rap about them. I think like they appeared in a lot of like pop videos. I think Turbo even did work with Michael Jackson. And that was a huge influence for me as well. Like I used to, when I was a really young kid, my uncle used to have like this really cool studio with like tape cassettes and would just like, say, here's a tape. And I'd go lock myself in the room and like, just like dance and try to break dance for like hours and hours. And it was just, yeah, it was just a way of like using my imagination. One of the scenes in that movie, Turbo is like break dancing on the roof. Like he like climbs the roof and starts like break dancing. And I'm like, I used to like pretend I could do that, right? And I think that's a really huge thing for any artist, is just tap into that imagination where it's just like anything's possible. And you know, all the other genres and musical influences you mentioned had the same effect, right? My brother was a lot older than me, like 5 years older than me. So getting access to these like things that's just like, whoa, what's that? Like when you're a kid, right? Because like other people your age might be listening to, I don't know, like Disney or something. And then like here, you get like this access to something that's a little bit more progressive or just a little bit more mature. And I was, you know, blown away from that. So I think it's just really tapping into imagination at a really young age, and that was really cool.
So how do you take these interests, these influences, as well as aspects of your life and tie them into a musical project? How do you find your sound?
I'm still working on it, to be honest with you. And it's always evolving, you know, like one of the things that I really try to embody with my music, and it just is because of what I've gone through with my health, is like, sometimes when you go through something so extreme, it gives you this desire to want to be able to be well, right? So that's what I've used to kind of like manifest and like really set my vision and like, I'm going to be well. I have this picture of myself being well. And when you really start to move in that direction, you realize that a lot of the stuff that maybe you hear from other people or they teach you in school about health or whatever is not true, and that you can really overcome a lot of these obstacles. So when you start to really think that like nothing is impossible, then you start to realize, okay, how can I apply that to my art? How can I, you know, and then you start to really grow in a direction that, you know, other people might not have foreseen. And you start to fuse genres, you start to come up with like things that may be not normal to other people, but you're tapping into different aspects that just feel good to you. Really like finding your sound is just being proud of the work you created and being able to say like, hey, like I'm proud of that, right? And this new song that I'm working on, it really, you know, I've been submitting it to a couple of like curators and people like that, and they were like, wow, this is extremely interesting. And you know, I get sometimes people might not dig my voice or something, because it's a pretty unique, like different sounding voice. Leaning into that and being like willing to try new things, even when people are like, oh, like I'm not feeling your voice, or that's really interesting, but I'm not there yet, or something. It's just kind of like, you know, just keep following that intuition that allows you to feel good and proud about your work.
Being proud of an accomplishment or completing a project is so important, not only for self, like the personal gratification you get out of it, but in terms of when you're trying to share your music with someone else or get it out there. If you have a positive outlook on it, and you know, even if it doesn't checkmark like, oh, this is the Mozart of our generation, things like that, if you come in with the confidence and it has a story to tell and it is a reflection of your internal self, people are going to like it. They're going to connect with it. They're going to feel the personal struggles, the triumphs, the joys in there, and they're going to relate it to their own lives. So one of the things is, when we're looking at your new song, Around Your Finger, what are sort of the hopes and emotions you're trying to convey in this piece?
Like I said, I'm trying to heal on various aspects. So like the previous song I did, and that'll also be on the EP, is called Love Myself. And it's really, this whole project is about love. And, you know, a lot of the healing that I've done, obviously, like there's health healing that I talk about in some of my songs, but, you know, really healing also has to do with relationships and being like aware of how you acted in certain relationships and how certain relationships had an impact on your identity and how you attract other relationships and how you feel about yourself. And, you know, so I really realized, you know, from a couple of patterns and relationships that I was, you know, doing a lot of people pleasing, a lot of, you know, just really not listening to myself and just for the sake of being in a relationship, because that's what you think you should do. Or, you know what I mean? Like, so people pleasing, that's one of the themes in the song, codependency, where, like I just said, like, you just feel like you should be there and like you need this feeling of fulfillment. So that's kind of where it came from. And a lot of the work that I've done in the past has been kind of heavy and like serious in a sense. Not all of it. There's some like kind of feel good songs and uplifting songs as well. But just recently, just like my approach to things was kind of like really intense. I could be really intense in that way. And I was like, you know what? I need to kind of find a way to channel this in a lighthearted way. Especially like, you know, I talked to you about the health. I've also really tapped into spirituality, which you might be able to see from my background. And I just thought it was a way that I could connect with people that was way more relatable. So I fused, you know, different genres. And I'm like I said, I was a big fan of 80s music and retro culture. So I pulled from certain themes of there. Like I, you know, was really influenced by like the David Bowie horns and Let's Dance, kind of like in this track. And then I also, you know, a little bit of funk, a little bit of R&B, a little bit of sing rappy and just allowed myself to explore and create. And this is what happened.
I think people will really appreciate that change in tone. And of course, there's nothing wrong with getting serious, solemn sometimes to, you know, discuss pain, discuss the tragedies in one's life. But as we're seeing in the world today, with all the struggles, climate emergencies, socioeconomical issues, racism, discrimination, you know, we're in the middle of Pride Month and Indigenous History Month, and there's still human rights that people need and we need to fight for. But when all of that gets into your head, I know for myself, sometimes I can get a little bit into a doomer mindset. And when things are all crushing around you, you feel like, what's the point? But I really appreciate what you're trying to do in your song of trying to tell things in a different light. Even if things are a challenge or things are bad, it doesn't mean you can't do something about it. Small baby steps, right? Like getting involved in a community. These are all things I want to do. And I really appreciate what you're doing in your music, you know, talking about the healing, the growth, and it's really cool things. And more, June 17th, you've got more coming out with relationships.
Around Your Finger is like, I'm actually putting the project out in pieces. Like I kind of, you know, a lot of the independent artists and what I've learned from my past projects, and instead of like really dropping one big project, just to put it out in pieces. So Around Your Finger is the first release on June 17th. And then we're going to do a couple more throughout the summer and throughout the fall kind of. And that's what relationships is about. I had this one line in an old song about like friendships. And I was like, oh, like it's such a nice play on words, because like I said, I've had a lot of challenges in my relationships. So I see a lot of my relationships sailing away. And what can I learn from all these relationships is, you know, like, how can I use it to heal and heal that part of me that will allow me to create better, stronger relationships moving forward. So yeah, like there's one song that's Around Your Finger. And then I have another song that's actually being mixed now, called Fulfill You. And again, it's a bit of a genre mashup, a little bit more poppy and R&B kind of vibes with a little bit of electro vibes. And then I do a little bit of, you know, I want to do an instrumental that is ready to be mixed as well. And that'll kind of follow suit in the project, because sometimes I don't know, like I feel like sometimes music doesn't need words or something like that. And you just need to, you know, allow yourself to express yourself in different ways. And then I have another track. So that's all of these songs, to be honest with you, are not like any of my past releases. So I don't know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you need to find your genre. But I think if anyone's been following me and like my followers, they just understand that I'm on this like wave of wanting to create new things. So hopefully that resonates with people and people check out Relationships. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you mentioned that because like I think we also just have to try new things, right? With releases and with as being independent artists, it's like sometimes we get in our own heads, we see what other people are doing, and we're like, I need to do that. Or you see like a YouTuber or music industry YouTuber talking about, what worked, and we're like, okay, we have to gravitate to that. But then I realized like just like when you're creating the art, there's really no right or wrong way to do it. It's just like, how can you, and I'm still learning this, to be honest with you, Ryan. I'm like trying to figure out the best way to engage with my fans and followers. And so for instance, with these releases, I've started doing some poetry. And like, so if you go to my Instagram, if you go to my YouTube, you'll see myself on like the backdrop of a silhouette of a woman doing some poetry, like, and that serves as a prelude to this upcoming release. And it is just like, it allows me to tap into a different, visual, allows me to tap into different content. And I think it's just like linking the two and just allowing people to get excited. A lot of the things I've also realized is there's a really cool, which I didn't get a chance to talk about, but where I work with, because of the pandemic, I met a videographer in Latvia through Fiverr, and we did one project together. But then I was like, okay, this guy is like really on my creative like wavelength, and I think, and I'm sure you can attest to that when you find someone who's like on your creative wavelength, it just like you're just so excited that someone shares your vision or can bring your art to a new medium that just like really allows you to access different engagement and different visual. So anyways, he's currently doing, I don't want to give too much away, but since we're connecting so well and like I really love your vibe, I'm gonna let spill a bit of it. It's like I'm not
Okay.
sure if you know about the have you seen any Action Bronson green screen or any Mac Miller posthumous kind of like his work? So
Yeah.
we've got like a green screen and there's a little bit of
Okay.
so I won't go too much into it, but like some themes around ships and it gets kind of weird and it's really abstract and it kind of,
I can dig it. I can dig
yeah, it's gonna
it.
be fun. It's gonna be really, really fun. That's a, that, so I'm I've also learned, to try and pique engagement and get people interested to like drop some behind the scenes. So in the next couple, we're almost a week and a half out till the drop. But yeah, I'm gonna leak some of the behind the scenes and try and spice it up. But yeah, it should be fun.
As an independent artist, it can be a challenge to get your content out there, to find a following, to build up interest. What are some of the other challenges that you're facing as an independent creator trying to get into the music industry, which is incredibly cutthroat?
So some of the challenges are, like I mentioned before, just seeing how other people are doing it and trying to find your own way. And I think a lot of it to this far, even with my own journey, is just like kind of like trusting that I'm on the right path and like building that spiritual connection to allow me to kind of become more resilient. And so I think we're all human, right? And we all go through challenges of feeling inadequate, feeling that we're lesser than or our art's not being heard. Sometimes, for instance, I'll give you an example. Like I just the other day I was I got news yesterday, actually, that I didn't get this grant for this project. And I was kind of banking on it. And I think that's a challenge, it's an opportunity to learn, right? Any challenge you have or any disappointment you have is an opportunity to learn. And had a great conversation with my friend Dante. It was just like, you know, act like you don't have it. So maybe when you get it, it's like a surprise. But when you put all your eggs in one basket, you're like, you set yourself up for disappointment. So I think learning from that moving forward will be huge. But, you know, I was like, oh, I even had a friend who's a grant writer, and I hired him to like overlook it. I put together like all like the, you know, fine tuning. So I'm just like really expecting this thing. And when it doesn't come, you're just like, oh, now what? Like, now you got to pick yourself up. And I think that's the thing is just finding ways to be resourceful. And even when someone says no, or you get a lot of no's, is finding a way to still move through with your art and find a way to get it out there, no matter if it's, you know, like maybe it's not as epic or it's not as big or what you pictured in your mind, but still get it out there, because you don't know who's going to connect with it. You don't know where it's going to end up with, you know. You might get a chance to connect with someone like Ryan, you know, who knows, you know, it's like, it's just like one of those things.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Vivek, talking with you, learning more about you, and keep up the good work. Keep challenging yourself, thinking outside the box, because that's what I think. For individuals like myself, what I think is people want authenticity. They want to see someone's true self in their work and their arc and not have this corporate veneer put over top of it. So keep it up, and I'm excited to see some of the works that are coming out June 17th. So where can people go to find out more about yourself and your music?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Ryan. So if you just go to vivekmemi.com, there should be like links to all like the music, media, all kinds of fun stuff like blog, etc. And then it's at Vivek Memi on all socials, and at Vivek Memi Music on YouTube and TikTok. Sorry, you guys got to think about all like the social plugs now. It's like, like that's how people engage. So yeah, I would love to connect with you. I'm mostly on IG, Instagram, and stories and all kinds of fun stuff there. So
want to hear more stories and music from amazing people across Canada? Check out U Radio by U Multicultural. Listen in at u-channel.ca. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk. And have yourself a good one.